Welcome to Wisdom from Above. I'm Dr. Harlan Betts, and the goal of Wisdom from Above is to go beyond the reasoning of man to the revelation of God. And we find this wisdom from above in the Bible. This is a weekly podcast, and this is my 159th episode, which means there are 158 other episodes of Wisdom from Above available to you and to everyone else all over the world. By the way, Wisdom from Above now has listeners in over 50 different countries. It amazes me, and I am so grateful that God is using this podcast to help people discover truths from His Word, truths that can transform their lives. We're starting off 2024 with an emphasis on practical Christianity, a series of how-tos and practical truths. And today's podcast looks at how to know the will of God. This is a critical episode because I think there are a lot of people who really want to know the will of God, but are not sure exactly how to find it. So I hope this episode will be helpful to you in your spiritual journey. Some people are as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Their world seems to be spinning out of control. They don't know where they have come from. They don't know where they're going. They're confused, uncertain, anxious, and afraid. Some are turning to astrology or witchcraft or palm readers. Others are turning to horoscopes or even fortune cookies. Some have decided that all the help they need lies deep within themselves, and they're determined to run their own show, follow their own lead, plan their own future. These are not good things. Perhaps you are uncertain about your life. Perhaps you're uncertain about your direction and your future, or a decision you have to make. I hope you're not going to astrology and witchcraft and palm readers and horoscopes and fortune cookies. I hope you're not just going to yourself. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, the Lord declares, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn out for themselves broken cisterns that hold no water." First, they forsook God, the fountain of living water. Second, they hewed out for themselves cisterns that can hold no water. Wow, what futility and frustration that must have caused. And what futility and frustration it causes for us if we do the same thing. We don't want to make those same mistakes. We want to go to God, the fountain of living waters. And in order to do that, or in order to learn how to do that, we're going to dig into a passage of Scripture that tells us how to know the will of God. It is a familiar passage, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." There are four phrases in those two verses. The first three phrases give us the pattern, and the last phrase gives us the promise. So look at the pattern that tells us how to know the will of God. Step number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Step one is expressing dependence. We can trust in the Lord. What is trust? Well, it means to believe in, or to rely on, or completely depend on. It has the idea of entrusting yourself to or giving your life to. You express trust in a pilot when you get on a plane. You're putting your life into his hands. You express trust in a doctor when you get on an operating table. You're putting your life into his hands. And you express trust when you give your life to God. You're putting your life into his hands. Well, why should we trust the Lord? Well, first of all, we trust God because he knows the future. We don't even know what this day holds, let alone the future. Without the Lord, we're lost, but He is the way. Without the Lord, we're ignorant, but He is the truth. Without the Lord, we face death, but He is the life. Second, we trust God because He is worthy of our trust. One of the great mysteries of life is that although we know what we want, we do not always know what we need. And although we know what we like, we're often completely unaware of what would be best for our lives. Now think about it. God knows what we need. And God knows what is best for us. And God wants what is best for us. As the Bible says in Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? You know, having given us the package, will He deny us a ribbon? He gave Jesus for us. He'll give us the other things we need. The Bible also tells us that like a good father, God only gives good gifts. So He is worthy of our trust. We need to place our life in His hands. Are you scared? Are you afraid to give your life to God? Do you think of God as a celestial Scrooge? Do you think His favorite word is no? Do you think His favorite pastime is doing without? Do you think of God as a cosmic killjoy, leaning over the balcony of heaven, looking for those who are having fun and yelling, "Hey, cut that out!" That is a false concept of God. Some of you think that if you give your life to God, it's goodbye football, goodbye fun, look out boredom, here I come. Nothing could be further from the truth. Satan has you deceived. Some of you think if you give your life to God, you'll regret it the rest of your life. You think He's just waiting for you to give your life to Him, and then He'll say, "Now I've got you, you're going to regret this decision the rest of your life." That is a false characterization of God. In reality, those who are trying to keep life for themselves, Jesus said, will lose it, but those who give up their life to God will find it. I have never met a person who gave himself completely to God who's regretted it. Never. You see, God has our best interests at heart. God wants to surround us with His loving kindness. God wants us to experience fullness of joy. God is willing to lead us, but we must be willing to follow. Now, some people say, "Well, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, and I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be, dear Lord." But under their breath and in their heart, they're saying, "I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, as long as it's near a pro football team or near my friends or in a civilized area. Or I'll do what you want me to do, dear Lord, as long as it doesn't involve too much work, as long as the salary's right and the retirement benefits are acceptable. Or I'll be what you want me to be, dear Lord, as long as it doesn't require any change in my lifestyle and as long as it doesn't require any genuine sacrifices." And no, you can't do that. That just won't work. You see, the first step to knowing God's will is being willing to do it. You have to believe in your heart that God knows best, and you must believe in your heart that God's will is better than your own. So step one is expressing dependence. You're trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Step number two is seeking direction. As Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Do not lean on your own understanding." Well, where can we lean? Well, we lean on God's understanding. We lean on the Word of God. The Word of God is a lamp to our feet. The Word of God is a light to our path. The Word of God is sure and reliable and accurate and inspired and authoritative. That's where we lean. God speaks through the Bible. Nothing is the will of God that is contrary to the Word of God. Let me say that again. Nothing is the will of God that is contrary to the Word of God. Therefore, we must be investing time in studying the Bible. That is the way we discover God's will for our lives. We need our minds to be so soaked with Scripture, so saturated with biblical principles and precepts, and so sensitive to the Spirit's prompting through the Scripture, that we will know instinctively the right steps to take in any situation. Often the Scripture makes God's will crystal clear. There are seven things that I'll highlight that are declared to be the will of God. There are many others, but I want to highlight seven things that are declared to be the will of God. Number one, that we be saved. The Lord does not desire that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants us to believe in Jesus and have eternal life. Number two, that we be holy. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, "This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality." Number three, that we should be changed from the inside out. Romans 12:1 and 2 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may demonstrate what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And see, he wants us to be changed from the inside out, not conformed to the world, but transformed by the Word, becoming like Christ. Number four, that we be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." Number five, that we be conformed to Christ. Romans 8:29 says, "Whom the Lord foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Number six, that we be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." And the verse right before that says, you need to understand what the will of God is. Be filled with the Spirit. Number seven, 1 Peter 2:15. "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." So there are seven things that are openly declared to be the will of God. How do we know what is right? The Bible tells us so. We can determine what is right by considering what God says in the Bible. There are positive commands, and they're always right to do. Love. We don't have to pray about, should I love this person or should I love God? We're commanded to do it. It's a positive command. It's always right to do. Then there are negative commands, and they're always wrong to do. We don't have to pray about, should I deceive? Should I murder? Should I steal? They're always wrong to do. Then there are rules, things legislated by an authority like a parent or an employer or government, and we should obey them. And then there are guidelines for things in you might consider in the gray area where there's not a positive command or negative command. How do you decide what to do? Well, what effect will it have on you? What effect will it have on others? And what effect will it have on God? God is going to guide us through his word. Now, God isn't going to drop a brick on your head with a note saying, go to Africa. He's not going to blow you out of bed with your nose landing on a map pointing to Texas. We don't need to see some mysterious vision or hear some miraculous voice. God speaks through the Bible. Another thing it might be good to mention here, the will of God is not so much to go somewhere as it is to be someone. I'm not saying that God never tells you to go somewhere. He can and often does. But God is far more concerned about your spiritual condition than he is about your geographical location. We must understand that God's supreme goal for our life is clearly spelled out, and that is that we glorify God. Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we should glorify God, and we should be conformed to the image of his Son. So look to the Bible and listen to the Bible, because God speaks through the Bible. So step one is expressing dependence by trusting the Lord. Step two is seeking direction by studying the Bible and obeying it. Step three is continuing dedication. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, wherever we are, and wherever we go, and whatever we do, we acknowledge him. In all our ways, in our thoughts, we acknowledge him. In our words, we acknowledge him. In our choices, we follow him. In our actions, we follow him. In our motives, we follow him. In we acknowledge him and his will and his leadership. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. That's Matthew 7:7. So we ask, what do you want me to do? We seek, we search the scriptures. We knock and we don't quit till the door is open or till a door is open. So step one is expressing dependence, trusting, trusting the Lord with all your heart. Step two is seeking direction. Seeking, do not lean on your own understanding. Seek the scripture. Step three is continuing dedication. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And this brings us to the last phrase, the promise. He will direct your path. If you trust the Lord with all your heart, if you're not leaning on your own understanding, but you're going to the understanding of God's word, if you're acknowledging God in all your ways, then he shall direct your paths. Notice there's a direct correlation, a direct connection between what we do and then what God promises. They're inseparably linked. If we trust the Lord, if we listen to his word, if we acknowledge him, he will direct our paths. Now let's look at that a little bit. He, the Lord. As a teenager in high school, a farm boy from Iowa, I found myself on a trip to New York City. While there, we went to the World's Fair. I was going with a group of young people, and I went to a pavilion by myself. After that pavilion, I went to meet the rest of the group at the place that had been designated, but they were not there. I waited, but they did not show. I had to make it back to the hotel on my own. And so I got on a bus that was headed towards the downtown area. Now, I knew the name of our hotel, but I had no idea where it was. I had no idea what street it was on. I had no idea which stop I should exit the bus. I was scared. Let me make it a little clearer. I was really scared. And I cried out my heart to God, God, I need your help. I don't know how to get to the hotel. Just as I finished privately talking to God, a gentleman who had sat down next to me started talking to me. And so I told him my problem and asked him if he knew what stop I should get off at and then how I would proceed to get to the hotel. And this gentleman said, I can do better than that. I'll take you there. And he did. He got off where I needed to get off. And he walked me to my hotel. Wow, what a blessing. But you see, that's exactly what God is saying to us. We're seeking guidance. We're seeking help because we don't know which way to go or what to do. And God wants us to give us something more than just guidance or help. He wants to give us himself. He is a good shepherd. He is the way. He promises to be our guide. And then we just need to follow him. He, that's God's person. He shall direct, that's God's providence. We have God's word as the final authority in all matters. God directing us with absolute authority. We have God's spirit leading us in harmony with scripture. God directing us with divine urgings. And we have God's peace coming when we walk according to scripture. God directing us with inner peace. We can have a calm, settled assurance that God is guiding us. The Bible says this in Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The Bible says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart. So we have God's word, God's spirit, and God's peace. I read about a party of people crossing the desert under the leadership of a guide. The people were becoming exhausted. The water supply was becoming low. And disagreement broke out as to which way to go. The people were convinced there was water ahead. The guide refused to go that direction. He insisted that all they saw was a mirage. They killed the guide and moved ahead in their own direction. But they didn't arrive at their destination. And when they did not arrive, folks became worried. After a few days' wait, they set out to find them. They found the guide first, not too far from the edge of the desert. He'd been shot. Later, much farther into the desert, far away from where they should have been, they found the rest of the party. Their dead bodies were strewn all over the desert. They were nothing more than buzzard bait. All because they refused to follow their guide and insisted on going their own way. God forbid that we do that. Don't refuse to follow God. God's person, he. God's providence, he shall direct. God's promise, he shall direct your path. So God's part, he's committed himself to reveal his will for your life. Proverbs 16:9, a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's a promise. God will speak through his word. God will guide with his spirit. God will confirm with his peace. That's God's part. So what's your part? Well, you must be willing to wait on God, on God's timing. God's time is the best time. As Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Second, we must be earnestly praying. Chisholm once wrote, pray on then, child of God, pray on. This is your duty and task. To God the answering belongs. Yours is a simpler part, to ask. And you must be willing to accept godly counsel. We're told over and over in the book of Proverbs that there is wisdom in seeking godly counsel. Now, don't ask advice from someone just because you know they'll tell you what you want to hear. Go instead to a mature, Bible-studying, God-following believer. Don't let your counselor make your decision for you. This is your decision. You listen to their counsel. You compare it with Scripture. You talk to the Lord and then make a wise decision. And then you must be sensitive to meaningful circumstances in keeping with Scripture and related to prayer, knowing that God can open and close doors. If you're expressing dependence, seeking direction, and continuing dedication, God will reveal His will for your life. That is a promise. You can bank on it. When you look at the word guidance, you see the word dance at the end of guidance. I remember reading that doing God's will is a lot like dancing. When two people try to lead, nothing feels right. The movement doesn't flow with the music, and everything is quite uncomfortable and jerky. You almost feel like you're fighting each other. When one person realizes that and lets the other lead, both bodies begin to flow with the music. One gives gentle cues, perhaps a nudge to the back, or pressing lightly in one direction or another. It's as if the two become one body, moving beautifully and gracefully. You see, the dance takes surrender, willingness and attentiveness from one person, and gentle guidance and skill from the other person. Look again at the word guidance. It starts with G-U-I. You can think of it this way. The G stands for God, and it's followed by you and I. God followed by you and I. God, you and I dance. What you're saying is, God, I will let you take the lead so that you and I can move together. I will let you take the lead, and I will follow you. God has the skill and the wisdom to lead. The question is, are you willing to let Him lead? Or are you insisting on going your own way? Are you willing to surrender your will to His? Or are you going to fight Him for the lead? Are you listening to His voice as He speaks to the Bible? Are you sensitive to the gentle nudgings of the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to follow the Lord so that you and Him can go through this life as one, moving beautifully together? Dear listeners, I want to challenge you to surrender your life to God's leading. Allow Him to lead. Surrender your will to His and let Him guide you through each season of your life. He loves you and He wants what's best for you. He's worthy of your trust. Will you entrust your life to the one who knows the future? Will you entrust your life to the one who wants what is best for you? Will you surrender your all to Him? Can you honestly say and pray what Judson Van Deventer expressed in his song, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all." I hope that expresses your heart. Well, my friend, I hope this episode of Wisdom from Above has been helpful to you. I am so grateful you're making this podcast part of your weekly listening routine. Please help me grow the outreach of Wisdom from Above. Share it with your family. Share it with your friends. Share it on your podcast. Tell others about it. I'd love it if you took the time to write a brief positive review. This is Dr. Harlan Betts, wishing you a great week and God's blessings. I am honored that you've chosen to join me in this passionate quest for wisdom from above.